tere tulemast kuulama järjekordset osa tulevikus täna podcastist. Tänane osa on meil inglise keeles jälle, et see tõttu ma nüüd vahetan keelt. So, today I was thinking about finally doing an episode which actually was requested a while ago already and I've been preparing for. Namely, I've discussed a few topics on education before, on how the brain works, how teaching works, all of those things. And on those, we occasionally touched on a topic called the Montessori education. So today I want to dedicate the whole episode to Montessori for those who do not fully understand it yet or want to understand more. And to not be speaking alone here, I also have a good guest who can introduce herself now.
Thank you. I am Bo Meinet. I am from the Netherlands, so originally Dutch. I give a course in the Netherlands, in Delft, but I also give an AMI Montessori course, 6-12 course in Tanzania, Africa, as well as now in Estonia. The first 6-12 AMI course is held in Estonia, and I am also lecturing on that course. AMI is Association Montessori International. There are many Montessori programs or Montessori institutions or movements around the world, and AMI would then I would consider it as the most global organization. Mm-hmm. It started by Dr. Montessori herself in 1929, so almost 100 years ago. And to become an AMI trainer is quite a process, but I'm really happy to be now someone who can help others, other teachers to become good at their job.
Excellent. So that's also the reason why I wanted to do this, to have a good expert on the show who can guide the topics and as well as answer questions if I have them. So I myself know Montessori from my wife's side. My wife's a 3-6 Montessori teacher in the kindergarten. And from that, I've understood the concept of the Montessori education, which basically, if you really take it from the essence, starts from birth. The release also from 0-3 component, but it's really the education system really transforms with the child.
Yep.
And at the same time, it's not fixed that at age 3 you do that, at age 4 you do that. It's more in line because a lot of different people develop different skills or aptitudes at different times. Even though they are approximately in the same base region, it might be plus half a year, plus year, based on individuality. So I think I personally like that part of the Montessori method a lot because it really makes it more individual.
True. Dr. Montessori talks about four planes of development. Mm-hmm. And she has two different charts that she describes or that she used to describe these ideas. And the four planes, you could approximately say it's from 0-6, from 6-12, from 12-18, and from 18-24. Mm-hmm. Now, if you look at natural human development, and then I'm thinking brain development, mm-hmm. then we see that also the brain develops up to an age of 24-25, recent mm-hmm. research has shown.
That's why women always say that they're always 25, right?
Exactly. So every plane, you could say, and it's not that around, it's not at exactly 6 that the child starts to mm-hmm. change completely, but it's of course more gradual. But every plane brings with it some special characteristics, and you could maybe vision it as a metamorphosis of an insect, mm-hmm. where you have an egg and then a caterpillar and after the caterpillar a pod or.
Yeah.
And then the butterfly. So each stage of this development is beneficial or helpful to become the adult that the insect mm-hmm. then is to become. So you could view human development in that sense, that every stage of development is supporting with a different emphasis the child to become the adult. Mm-hmm. And every stage then nature has provided us with characteristics, with a support that would then help us to direct our energies towards a certain point. So mm-hmm. to be a little bit more specific, within 0-3, within the first, actually the 0-6, but mm-hmm. in that plane, the child is very sensitive for language, for the acquisition of language. Mm-hmm. And without us teaching them language, they are accumulating words and they start to speak as we human beings do. They also start to walk on two legs. So they're constructing themselves on the expense of the environment, really taking in everything effortlessly based on an absorbent mind. They have characteristics that can never come back. Mm-hmm. We will never have an absorbent mind like that, that we can just take everything in without any filter.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that time, the child starts to show physically and intellectually different characteristics. So around the age of 6, 7, the child starts to ask different kinds of questions. Instead mm-hmm. of, what is this? What is this? What is this? The child is now answering or wanting answers for questions that are more like, why is it like this? Mm-hmm. And how does it work? How does it function? He wants to understand for himself. There's this reasoning mind, a sense of wanting to understand for yourself, and that includes many different levels, because you can think about an intellectual level where you want to just know how a plant functions, for mm-hmm. example. But you can also think about social relationships or moral aspects of, like, things that we have in our organization, our structures of human beings, how we then act. So what is good, what is bad,
and mm-hmm. how do we solve conflicts, how do
yes.
we
and how to someone? Judge yeah. that situation, because mm-hmm. that judging, we are so often in a gray area where there's bad or good. Yeah, it depends on the situation. And mm-hmm. we 6 to 12 year olds then in that, we are so sensitive for that development of that moral sense, that also that is really part of becoming an adult, growing.
I think that's also one of the reasons why kids at that age are really sensitive to injustices. So
yes.
if one gets something and the other one doesn't, and why? Yes. Why didn't I get it? Why did he get it? So I think this is a part of the rule set and understanding the social order and the social rules.
Yeah, yeah. So. You hear the children say a lot, but this is not fair, and they are mm-hmm. telling on each other. And it really is within them. That is because in the first plane, they are just taking in that judgment from their environment, what their parents or guides or the adults in the environment say, this is good, this is bad. They just take it in mm-hmm. without judging it. But now the child wants to really understand for himself. And he's starting to hear that voice in their mind saying, ooh, you should not do that. There's a child standing on the table, but we should not stand on tables. Mm-hmm. So there starts to be this voice, but they're not really sure if they can trust their own inner voice mm-hmm. yet. So they will come to the adult in the room to say, this child is standing on the table and we should not stand on tables. And you have to tell him mm-hmm. that he couldn't do it. And what is important here is that the child hears from the adult,
the confirmation, yeah.
Confirmation yeah. that this voice is correct, that is actually true. Even if you cannot correct the situation, cannot go to that other child, say, no, we do not stand on the tables, to confirm with a child who asked you, am I judging the situation right? Mm-hmm. That is really an important part of his development.
Mm-hmm. And I think a big maybe difference from, even though I think these how social etiquettes and how things are done, it's also taught in like your normal curriculum to an extent, but it's more based on if something happens, then it's discussed that this shouldn't have been done.
Yeah.
But what I actually kind of liked, this is at the kindergarten level, is that there is actually, so in the Montessori method, there is something called presentation. So things are presented by a supervisor in a controlled environment, and then the kids can continue doing that presentation afterwards to fully understand the concepts of it. And it's not only mathematics, it's not only manual development, it's not only puzzles or things like that, but it's also the social interactions. Yeah. And for me, that was kind of curious, that you actually have presentations on how to attract somebody's attention, how to ask permission, how to apologize. So, I mean, things which you don't maybe have normally in the curriculum as specific tasks to teach.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it all comes from a very different point of what education should bring to children. Mm-hmm. So it's not only about giving children intellectual knowledge or transmitting our knowledge to them, mm-hmm. but to really support them in their natural human development to become the best versions of themselves. Now, as you are describing it, to really give a presentation on how to apologize or how to have someone pass you or mm-hmm. when the space is small, that is very, how you describe it is very related to a 3-6 environment. Yeah, really connect to that. And within a 6-12 environment, it might be a little bit different. But as you said, it is true that we incorporate or like it's part of what we do to also think about how we say things or what we do. Mm-hmm. And that really connects with that moral development, because before, where children are learning to understand that we do not push each other, or mm-hmm. we do not like physically get our ways, that we have to use our words, that we ask for things, that we how we act. Now the children in the 6-12, they start to understand that you
words can be used interestingly.
Yeah, you can manipulate someone else by saying or asking in a particular way. You can tell a story that is like a version of the truth. You can sort of put it into like
you can omit things.
Yeah, you can add or put a different emphasis, or you can use your tone of voice in a different way. And also that exploration of how to use your words, how to use your tone of voice, how the way that you express yourself. It's such a huge development of understanding when is it important to be truthful. I mean, it's always important to be truthful, but like how when can you give your opinion, or when can you say it your way, or you see where this is going? Like, it's such a different thing, how, and there's so much gray area, and
yeah, there's really, a lot of skills attached to it.
Yeah, and to really be more skillful in this acting, this social and moral field, you need to not only just do, but reflect on what you're doing. And therefore, our environment, our prepared social and emotional environment, should also give that guidance of how to reflect, or yeah, what kind of questions could we ask, or how could we do it differently? We need children to start thinking in different options that you can mm-hmm. hit, you can walk away, you can ask a friend for help, you can ask a question, you can say this is not what I want. Like, there are different responses in the same situation, but for you to start thinking I have different options is a new thing, because children start to respond out of their own natural first instinct to mm-hmm. physically react or to walk away. Like, some children walk away out of everything that they find exciting or a little scary, and we need to help them to stay in the situations. Other children are immediately like physically responding, and mm-hmm. we need to help them to respond differently. So to start thinking in options is really, yeah, then you really need to also embrace that in your education.
So exactly, getting to the education part, I mean, what we've discussed so far is a general human development and the concepts as they are. And Maria Montessori was a doctor who was studying those things, and she was really developing an understanding on how the development goes. And her purpose was to create an education system or methodology that emphasizes and supports it. So basically, I'm going to ask a provocative question, is that, so how's Montessori different? So what's done differently in a Montessori classroom to really emphasize those things?
Well, yeah, it's a big question. I mean, it's a bigger topic, but I will try. Basically, you could say the aim for education is mm-hmm. to support natural human development, and therefore we have to create an environment in which the child can freely act. And mm-hmm. this freedom should be taken into consideration in terms of the freedom to move around. We are not, it's not supporting natural human development to sit still behind a desk. It's not natural for us. It's natural for us to move. Mm-hmm. It's natural for us to work, to manipulate, to see, to explore, to see mm-hmm. what happens. We need therefore then the freedom to manipulate materials, to work in such a sense that you can explore for yourself. We need a freedom of time. So mm-hmm. a freedom of exploring something for as long as it is beneficial for you to really take something out. We need the freedom to choose a place that is appropriate for the work that we are doing. If we're making a big timeline, we cannot sit at a small desk. Maybe we want to be at the floor. We need the freedom to communicate with each other. If it is limited and you can only talk when it's like between 9 and 10, then we cannot do this work. So we have freedoms that are in terms of time, place, movement, communication, a choice of what am I going to do. All those freedoms are helpful for development, but they are in balance with the responsibilities that come with these freedoms.
I think that's a big difference from some other education methodologies, which people are sometimes afraid of. So it's a lot of freedoms, but the freedom is always must be balanced by responsibility.
Yes, absolutely. And where sometimes it's referred to, Montessori describes the situation where people came into an example classroom at her time, and someone from outside came in and talked to this child and said, so this is the place where you can do as you want. And he said, this is the place where I want what I do. It's like a different kind of perspective, because it's not that we just do whatever we like or do whatever we want, but we can choose we can use our freedoms in a constructive way. So what Dr. Montessori envisioned is an environment in which the children can be free to choose math or language or biology or history or like different topics to explore. But it's the responsibility, or it's like in balance with that we are actually working, that we are actually exploring things, that we are constructing something.
Not just playing with Pokemon.
Not just playing, no, yeah. And the materials that are there are chosen so carefully that everything that is in the environment is supporting this development. We do not want the children to do busy work just to occupy themselves. We want them to have materials that support development. So she refers it as developmental materials that support that change, that work, that study. And sometimes materials can be used in many like layers, like going deeper and deeper into it. But it's never our aim to have the children connected to these materials that they can only do a division when they're using the Rexen tubes, or that they can only do a multiplication if they have something in front of them. Eventually, it is the idea that it's leading them to abstraction, and that they can fully do it abstractly on paper, but with full understanding of what they're doing.
Where it comes from.
Yeah, yeah. And to really understand things so deeply, you need to manipulate, to be active, to work with it, to really make it your own. And as you are manipulating, you are also constructing these images in your mind. You can use your imagination to envision or to start understanding things better.
I think this is a... this is always an important concept, in a sense that, as my background is in STEM, this is a very common problem in STEM, that if the teacher is not excellent in describing why and how you do these things, for example, in mathematics, then it often becomes a routine that you take this, put it here, take this, put it here, multiply those, then divide by that, and then you get the answer. But you have absolutely no clue why you are doing it.
Exactly.
And it always comes down to whether the teacher managed to give the content away in a clear way that allows you to understand why this thing happens, why the result is that. And if I change that, why the result becomes something different. And I kind of like that in the Montessori method, it's not only the environment, as in that you can be on the ground or not quite on the table, but I mean that you can like move around and choose things, but it's also the tools, especially as a STEM background. I like the fact that, a lot of different education methods have tried to copy Maria Montessori's math efficiency, because she somehow managed from physical manipulation of different objects to really get all the abstract content of math to the level that in a lot of cases already come, because the tools are shared between the kindergarten and the school. So they are universal. So even when they had some kind of touch-in with some of the beads and things at age 3, they will see them in a different light at age 9.
Absolutely.
But it still works in ways that I know that there is the binomial cube, etc. I was always kind of first curious, why would you have the binomial cube at the kindergarten level? This is abstract math to an extent, how you add things in square.
Yeah.
But the fact that it comes back in the school level, it's already a familiar object. You already know the concepts. It then clicks into place what this does in an abstract way. That is an interesting element for me from the STEM background. But I understand it's the same with languages and other things.
Yeah, absolutely. So, many things come up in my mind as I'm listening to you. I think one of the things I need to mention is that Montessori, she has thought so well about this curriculum, this content, about its that layering of knowledge. Mm-hmm. And as you're saying, like things that the children have seen before, it is already stored somewhere. But then when it comes back, it's like a familiar feeling to this material, which they don't know what we're now doing, but it's not like completely new. And every human being who likes or who is learning a new skill, even if were you and me, like and as an adult, we like to start from a place where we are familiar with something, because it gives us a sense of like, okay, I can do this. I know this. This is where I'm comfortable. And then you are most open to learning something new. If I put something in front of you that is completely new to you, there's so much new information that you might get a little bit lost. And that feeling of, I'm not really sure, is not a place from which where human beings want to continue their learning. So we always want to start from that point where a child feels really comfortable, feels really like, I can do this, I can do this, confident. And then we just add that little interesting new aspect, and the child's like, I wonder about this, or I want to know this. And then they start to become active and really start understanding. So our starting point is every time a little bit further. And we as guides, as teachers, Montessori calls us guides, we really need to observe well to understand where is this child very confident. And that can differ a lot. So knowing what you're talking about as a guide, you can also skip steps. So let's give an example of how I had I think it was a 9-year-old child. It was not from my classroom, but from another classroom. But for today, he came in. And I didn't know him well, but I did observe. I thought, okay, he needs some input. I'm going to give him a presentation on decimal numbers. And we have a multiplication board on which you can multiply decimal numbers, a decimal number by a decimal number. But to really feel that you can do it, you need to be orientated on the material well. You need to know how the interplay of hierarchies, etc. But I knew that he was like, let's say, some people would say it's like highly intelligent, or like, he needs a challenge, I thought. And where I would usually take many days of introducing the material and doing a first step of forming numbers and reading numbers, I now did it super quickly. So with the child, I was going through several steps where other children take like a week or so. And now I got his interest, because in the beginning it was like, oh, I don't know. But now it started to create in him something like, okay, wait, I need to pay attention here, because she's trying to show me something and I really need to keep up with her. And then we did the multiplication, and that fits on the board. And it was already a long multiplication, several numbers times several numbers. But then he said, okay, I want to do a multiplication with millions, comma, millions, millionths, times a number, millions, comma, decimal, millionths. And I said, I understand that you want to do that, but that's not going to fit on this material. No problem. I will create my own. So then he started to do that. And it gives that, and he could now really get the concept of this interplay of hierarchies. How when we have, for example, tenths times tenths, decimal numbers, we receive hundredths, etc. And he really got into it. So for me as a guide, to understand that this chapter of decimal numbers, like it is like a chain of things that we could present, and to understand that to present every presentation as we would to maybe another child is not going to help for this child. That was key in this situation, because now he really got interested in doing it and in working it out. So it's just one example. Mm-hmm. But so that's, it's two things. Like, it's the subconscious mind, the child feeling familiar with something and then feeling confident, and maybe a child being able as a guide to meet the child where it gets interesting for him.
Mm-hmm. I think that's a very crucial component in this, the fact that the drive for learning is not coming from the teacher. That's the usual in the classroom. You have a lesson in mathematics at 9. It's the teacher who comes in and says, today we are going to do that.
Yeah.
And that's how you do it. Now do it. Yeah. So the motivation comes from the teacher. I think, just to summarize the previous elements, basically in the Montessori environment, the environment is fruitful to start doing various different elements. Mm-hmm. And then it's the child's inner drive on the child's inner topic that is of interest that is actually the one which is driving what we are going to do today. Because I think one big element is that, first of all, you might not be in the mind of mathematics at that time. You might be thinking about the Second World War for whatever reason, which was discussed maybe the day before or the day before that.
Yeah.
So you really don't want to do multiplications at that time. You really want to understand Franz Ferdinand for whatever reason.
Yeah.
Or it could be chemistry, that you really saw something interesting with a butterfly development at home, and now you really want to dig into this. So I think the freedom of choosing the topic when you want to learn that topic is a totally different thing. I think we've all experienced that if somebody tells you that I need that tomorrow and you have to do that, even though you have other topics, getting through something you really don't want to do, you're blocked internally. But if something piques your interest, then that goes easily. It's like a breeze. Picking it up, if you're really interested in it, becomes a lot easier. So your brain is wired differently. And I think that's the big difference in Montessori that helps develop an individual. So people get individual thinking.
True. And then there's also other educational reformers, mm-hmm, that have taken that, like, oh, let's follow the child's interests, mm-hmm, in different educational systems, let's say, that really go from that, oh, let's see what the child is interested in, and then we will go from there. Mm-hmm. And that can also be maybe used against it. That, mm-hmm, yeah, what if the child is just never interested in math or, yes, never interested in the Second World War? Yeah. So then how do you, would you just say, oh, it's just not this child? But that is really not Dr. Montessori's point of view, mm-hmm, here. And she would really say, to arouse interest in the child, like, it's so easy to arouse interest in basically anything, mm-hmm, if you are a very good storyteller, because, mm-hmm, children love stories and they have a sensitivity to use their imagination to put that to work. That is already at an earlier age that a child, mm-hmm, is developing their imagination. But where the child in a 0 to 6 in the first plane of development in that first years is really still constructing that power of the mind to understand things and to imagine things, you will see that this young child will ask you to tell the same story or to recite the same poem or to do, mm-hmm, this repeat, same picture
repeat,
book.
Repeat,
repeat, repeat, repeat. Yes, because they are now starting to also visualize it in their minds, and they start to see a sort of cartoon. It's like a video that you can see in your mind. And as you are repeating the same story, I can add more detail to my, mm-hmm, visions, and it becomes colorful and moving, and I can see more and more. And therefore this child wants to tell you the same story again, because, mm-hmm, they feel like, okay, I can really use this. Around the age of 6 and 7, this ability to use your imagination is so far developed that as soon as you start telling a story, it could be a fairy tale, could be a myth, could be anything, the child immediately envisions it, especially if you're a good storyteller, mm-hmm, right? So this power is really something that the child wants to put to use, and Montessori describes 2 ways basically to use your imagination. And she says, she makes a distinction between imagination and fantasy.
Mm-hmm.
She says imagination can be in fantasy ways, it can be used as an escape from reality, mm-hmm. or it can be used to understand, imagination used to understand the world that we, reality, the world mm-hmm. that we live in today. So it's either understanding reality or escaping from reality. And how we use our imagination can then be key, because mm-hmm. we, with our stories, can help the children to understand or see things that you cannot observe. Let's take photosynthesis, for example. If we are looking at a plant and we start telling a story about how the different parts of the plant have different functions, and we now already discovered that the roots take up the water, and we are now discovering that the, or I'm telling a story about how the leaf is like a food factory. Mm-hmm. The leaf with little mouths can take in air, particles from the air, and with the energy of the sun and the water that is brought up to the leaf, mm-hmm. which already you could wonder, how is it brought up? Mm-hmm. Because water does not stream up. It mm-hmm. always goes sideways and downwards, but never upwards. But story for another day. But then when that water comes to the leaf, and there is something happening in that leaf that the leaf is able to take molecules apart and reconstruct them. And mm-hmm. in that process of making its own food, making sugars, basically, in that process, some of these molecules are not needed anymore and they release it. It's oxygen. Mm-hmm. That is a mysterious thing that is happening, how this plant is cooking its own food, and it's going to store it somewhere. Some store it in the roots, some store it in the fruit, some store it somewhere else. So this plant is doing like a magical work, but you cannot see photosynthesis. Mm-hmm. It's not something that we can observe. But we can, with our stories, and I'm doing a short version now, of course, but we can help the child to see this in their minds. Mm-hmm. And they really start to wonder about things that they have never even thought about before. Mm-hmm. So if we just take it from what we earlier said, like, oh, the child is interested in this or that, maybe we have to bring a lot of things to the child's interest, possible mm-hmm. interest, by telling him stories or having him experiment with something, so that these questions start to follow, that it starts to be like, yeah, but I know. What is this tree actually doing?
And why is the water flowing upwards?
Why is water flowing upwards? And so if a plant is able to put water upwards, and there's a whole system for this, how is this all working? There's so many things can come from that. But therefore, you do need a very educated guide.
Yes.
To have a lot of intellectual knowledge. And this knowledge... the guide needs to then decide what knowledge to give and what not to give. And maybe that is even a more precious thing, to have the children discover things. You need to decide to give just enough to awaken the interest.
It piques interest, yeah.
Yeah.
And I think in that sense, it comes back to this freedom versus responsibility, that they do have the freedom to choose the topics, but it is both the child's and the guide's responsibility to make sure that all the curriculum topics get covered. But it's not really important within that 2 to 3 year period that you get it done exactly by the hour, but by the end you have to. But I think there is a huge amount of work also from the guide side to make sure that they have a tracking on what everybody has already covered, what they have not, so they can start to pique the interest of specific children. Like, I see you've not done biology as much as you should. Let's talk about something interesting in biology so that it piques back that interest.
Exactly.
So I think we'll have to start concluding as well. Although I think we could go on for hours.
Yeah.
But it's always an interesting topic. But basically, I think the inherent part of Montessori, which is somewhat different, is the spark from the kindergarten onwards to really make the kid want to learn. Essentially, if you consider a baby, they are like, and then you consider an elderly physicist. They are kind of the same in the sense that they still have the curiosity spark left
exactly.
in them.
Yes.
And I think that path is what we need to keep going, in a sense that you need to keep the curiosity there. You cannot smother them with schedules and rules and regulations, but you, at the same time, you have to make sure that they cover everything.
Yes.
And I think that... going forward in the future, I mean, the topic is about future, right? Is that we need people who are individuals. We need people who can think for themselves, who can solve problems on their own, who have the capabilities for that and who can self-manage.
Yeah.
Because I think that's also a big topic, that people really need to learn how to self-manage both time, emotions, everything. And that in today's school system maybe isn't that great yet. The thrive is there for it. I mean, everybody knows that that's what you need. Yeah. But the methodologies, I would say Montessori is probably one of the most structured, well thought out system to make it happen from the get-go. So that by the time we get to the teenager years, the person is already a bit more balanced and well thought out. And yeah. I mean, then the teenage problems start. But that's also why there is this 12 to 18 is a different period.
yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I can only say yes to what you just said. And so to have this love for learning, to mm-hmm. really have this interest, this flame of interest going, it can be completely killed, you know, in yes. traditional education or in some forms. Not everyone, not for everyone, everyone's different. But to have that interest stay alive and that love for learning stay alive, that is really our main goal in a 6 to 12 environment. All the things that the children learn, and they learn a lot, it's sort of side effect mm-hmm. from that exactly. love for learning.
And you can always go to Wikipedia, but
exactly. And in the first plane where Montessori really, and people maybe know this, like her slogan almost is to say, to help me to do it by myself, help mm-hmm. the child to do it by myself. Now in the 6 to 12 environment, we would say, help me to think for myself is really like a next level. And that's helped me to think for myself. It's like critical thinking, inventions, come up with ideas, with problem solving, etc. Yeah. And yeah, if we want to do that well, and if we want a better future, then we have to start with taking education to the next level, to another way of thinking.
I think that's an excellent place to finish this discussion. Thank you a lot.
Thank you.